Welcome to Just Another Podcast. I'm here with my dad, Adam Soderberg. I thought I'd bring him on this week because it's my birthday this week, and I thought it'd be kind of fun to talk about, you know, who I am and what my family is and who we are, where we're from and all that stuff. So welcome, Dad.
Hi, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing all right. You know, it is a different time, that's for sure. But we're doing the best we can with what we have to work with. It's been a lesson in getting up to speed with technology really fast.
Exactly. When I talked to you about doing this, you talked about, I have Zoom. So it's like, a lot of people learning what these like online video conferencing tools are because we can't be within 6 feet of each other. And this is the first one I'll be doing. You're in a different state. So a lot of the people that I'm going to be talking to over the next couple of weeks and months are mostly from Maine. So we're dealing with this COVID thing in a completely different way that potentially you guys are dealing this in Connecticut. We have a little bit less cases per capita. You guys have a little bit more cases per capita. But my dad is the senior pastor at South Congregational Church in Hartford, Connecticut. So he has to deal with this obviously in a different way than potentially me at Orono Brewing Company. Or I talked to my friend Brian on the phone the other day, who is one of the pastors at Journey Church in Hamden. And that some of these churches that are rural have to get up to speed a little bit faster than you, or can't get up as fast. You know, you at least have some things in place at South Church that other people may not have had in place.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because we had been recording, as you know, the Sunday service, or at least the sermon, for quite a while. And then our camera died and we moved into our large meeting house instead of the chapel. And all of a sudden we couldn't find equipment that was suitable to the room. And then it's one of these things that kind of gets kicked down the road. You know, we'll get to it. So I wasn't up to speed as much as I really wanted to be. And it was a quick learning curve. We do have some talented people here in Ryan and in Lauren who got up to speed, you know, pretty quickly. I thought Skype was the thing, but I mentioned Skype to a couple of people. Apparently it dates me a little bit because I went, well, we can meet on Skype. And they were like, what's Skype? I'm like, really? Well, is it that old?
Well, Skype, I think Skype's one of those ones that came to, and like a lot of times people will tell me, let's FaceTime.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people, you know, that's their technology, that's their verbiage because they're using an iPhone.
Right.
So FaceTime to a person who uses an Android, it's not the same because they don't, like, you don't have FaceTime. You have to use other video conferencing programs or whatever. Yeah. So when I say, let's do a video chat, a lot of times I just say, let's FaceTime. That doesn't mean using the FaceTime app. It just means let's see face-to-face on the internet. And yeah. So Skype is like that, I think.
Well, I was just stunned that they apparently didn't even know what Skype was. I was like, wow, I'm that old. But everybody was talking about Zoom. And I was a little nervous because I never used it. You know, teaching an old dog new tricks is always fun. But we got up to speed pretty quickly. And I got myself a external a camcorder because the quality of the picture in my laptop was lousy. I am finding this when I turn on the camera and it just is focusing, the picture is amazingly clear. As soon as it goes on Facebook Live, it gets a little fuzzy and blurry. Mm-hmm. What is that?
I think it's because you're going across bandwidth. It's leaving, the quality is dropping because it has to leave your computer and internet and go to somewhere else. And places like Facebook right now, everybody going live.
Right.
All that stuff, the bandwidth is dropping way down. Their servers are probably, it's the same thing they talked about, like Hulu and Netflix and all these companies were kind of afraid of this. Yes, people may, you know, those who didn't have those services might subscribe during this COVID situation, but then all those extra people are all at home at the same time. And luckily, you're lucky enough to be working. I'm lucky enough to be working at home. Right. But like all these other people that I know, all my staff at Orono Brewing Company are at home. They may be binge watching TV shows all day.
Right.
So they said there's a possibility that your quality of your video could go down because so many people are watching at the exact same time. So
kind of what
I figured. That's my guess.
But anyway, it actually has made my job personally even a little harder. I mean, I'm now recording my message on Wednesday, so I don't have until Friday to get it ready because it needs to get to Lauren and she needs to put all the graphics on, do all that stuff. I'm also doing three devotionals, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 12:15 on Facebook Live, a food for thought devotional. We do weekly, weekday prayer at 4 p.m. on Facebook Live at 4 o'clock, Monday through Friday. And I'm doing my Bible study on Wednesday nights on Facebook Live. So I almost have more work to do now that I have a social media or online presence than I did before. I want to open this stuff back up so I can get a little bit of rest.
We talked about that at Orono Brewing Company about the idea that it could make people lazy. In a sense, not in a bad way, but in a way that, like, you're delivering all this stuff to their houses in front of their faces at a certain time to them. When they now have to get in their vehicle or get on the public transportation or walk to come to do these things, people are like, yeah, but during COVID, you brought it all to my house. I didn't, like, when we're delivering beer to someone's house now, is someone going to want to come to get something from our place of business?
I tell you, I don't know. As far as I know, at least here in New York, Governor Lamont doesn't seem to be able to pick his nose unless he checks with Governor Cuomo in New York. But it seems as though we will be coming to an end, full stop, on May 20th, which means, hypothetically, I could be in church on May 24th. I don't know if I'm going to do that yet. I got to speak to a couple leaders. But it does make you think, even when we do open, how many people are going to come?
Correct.
And as you know, a good portion of our congregation, at least in the first service, is older demographic. So they're not really as adept at accessing all this stuff on the internet. And if they don't show up, then I got to face the question of, do I have an entire service with a choir and an organist for four people?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So... We'll see what happens when it happens. But it does make you a little nervous that if people get used to going to church online, will they come back to church when church is open? I don't know the answer to that.
And Brian and I, like I said, I told my dad before we recorded this was that I did do a podcast last week with a friend of mine, Brian, at Journey Church. That didn't record quality wise that I liked. So we're going to do it again in the future. But we chatted a little bit off air about how there are churches that are online. I mean, you think about like lifechurch.tv.
Yep.
They did not skip a beat basically in this situation because they just had this going for them. Luckily enough, some of these places, I mean, I grew up in the church. Obviously we went to camps out in Camp Wiagamox. So I met a bunch of different people around the state of Maine. And I'm not going to name names now, but there's just some of the funny rural church, the smaller churches where it's like, okay, we're going to do Facebook Live. And they just put their Facebook Live up and they're like trying to position it and they're trying to get the camera looking good. And they're way off in the background trying to get some sort of organ running. And it's like, those are the people where I hope some people are watching it. Because if you see the Facebook Live thing, at least I hope there's four people watching, because I really hope that all their effort to do this is worth it. But yep, at least they're trying. That's my biggest thing. Absolutely. You could easily just say, close up shop, we're done until this is over.
Absolutely. I mean, I have a colleague down here who will remain nameless. And I think you might remember who he was. But anyway, he's serving a church down here. And the first Facebook Live broadcast of their Sunday service, he was completely sideways the entire time. You had to look at it like this. It was just cute. But as you said, you got to give people props for giving it a shot. The challenge is production is slightly easier than making sure people act. I mean, I got older folks that I'm not even sure they do the internet or have an email address, let alone try to explain to them how to go to our website, how to click on resources, how to click on virtual church or go to Vimeo. I mean, forget it. So I know that we're not reaching the percentage a good portion of the congregation. Now, I've tried to augment that with my, I have the robocall system here that I can send out some robocalls. I sent out a letter letting everybody know all these opportunities to connect, and our newsletter got mailed out this time, which we haven't been doing for a while. We've just been printing them up and making them available in the lobby because they're here, you know, to pick it up, and just mailing to shut-ins and out-of-state people. So we're trying as much as we can to do old school, but still telling an older person in the letter, all you got to do is go online and blah, 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 and they don't, I don't do that, is kind of a moot point. But
it's a toss up who is able to do that. Cause you know, if you think of our family, you know, Grammy and Grampy and Mimir and Pip-Air are on Facebook all the time.
Yep.
And then Grammy and Grampy are not even on Facebook.
Right.
Where then you go to like Taylor's family, you know, she has her Nana and Pops who are not really on Facebook or the internet, but her Meme and Pepe and Lewiston are on the internet all the time. Same thing with my friend Mike and Karen's parents. One set of parents is on the internet all the time and the other one doesn't even own a computer. Right. And it's like, it's not like you can be like, this age group doesn't do this thing. It literally is a toss up. Your most prolific Facebook user could be 75 years old. And then you have a 20-year-old who doesn't even have Facebook because they don't want to be on Facebook.
Right. So I found that a lot too. There were a lot of younger people, younger demographic who I don't do Facebook. Because I guess Facebook has kind of been passe too, right? Now it's Instagram or whatever. Yeah.
Well, that's why Facebook bought Instagram, I believe. They knew that trend was going to go that way. Now Facebook owns Instagram. So they're able to now have the same amount of users, just different platforms. We talked about this, Mom and I talked about this, about Taylor and I's wedding.
Yeah.
And that we send out invitations to people because we have to have under 50 people likely to come. And so we sent out a physical paper invitation, but it was a digital invitation saying to the people that were 50 through 85 or 100 on our list that, sorry, we can't have more than that many people at our wedding. Please go online and watch the wedding live, which we weren't going to do. We had talked about it a little bit because it's like, I guess if anybody who can't make it, I have an uncle, your brother in England.
Yep.
That maybe he'd want to watch it on the internet. That would be nice for him to do. But then we're like, now we have to do this. But I was just going to do a Facebook Live.
Right.
Mom made a point that, well, maybe not everybody's going to be able to do that. So I did activate YouTube Live. You have to like go on their website and say that you want to do this, and they activate it within 24 hours. They don't just let everybody have it. You have to like request access to it.
Oh.
I don't think they decline anybody, but I think they just make it so that you can't just go live. They want to look to make sure you have a profile picture and you have some videos uploaded and stuff. And luckily I do. So I set it all up and I scheduled it for August 8th and it's ready to go online at 2:45, and I'm able to embed the video on our wedding website. So I'll just throw it right up there a couple days early, and you'll just have to go to our website. And the video is going to be right there, and it will start playing when you get there. So it'll make it very easy for people to do. But that's, you know, it's
now, different. Now, will it be accessible afterwards, like Facebook Live is too? Okay. Yeah. That's good.
So it just records, and then it just becomes a video.
Watch it later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's some of that. I'm on a podcast or a web stream on the Facebook Live on, what's today? The 13th, 12th, 12th? The 13th. 12th. Yeah. So the 13th, I'm on a web stream, which this will come out Friday, so no reason to promote it. But with the Vanguard Comic Con, we're talking with my friends Brian Keiser and Josh Moulton. We're all getting on there and just chatting, but they go live. And when we're on live, they have 10,000 Facebook followers. Five people might watch it live. But then I go on and look at the statistics the next day. 650 people watched it between the time we went live and that time the next night. It's like some people just don't want to get on at a certain time.
Right.
You know what I mean? So some people, like, I debated on doing this thing live or doing it recorded, but I was like, live, I might get five people watching and I have to obey a certain time.
Right.
And I originally said we'll do it on Skype. Then we moved to Zoom. So we had to send each other an email. We were 5 minutes late to our schedule. So then everybody waiting for us would have been waiting 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So the benefit of your church service being on Vimeo and being recorded on Wednesday, produced, and then put on the internet.
People don't know it, but they could actually access the service late Saturday night. I mean, Lauren puts it on Saturday afternoon, but some people think that they can't get it until, you know, 9:30 when they would come to church, or 11 o'clock when they would come to church, and that's fine. It's there.
So. But in the same sense, like, you kind of want the people, like, there's people, I follow people on Instagram, but let's watch this movie tonight together. And we're not all watching, like, it doesn't matter, we're watching it together, but it's like, let's get everybody in the world to watch this thing together. So it is nice that people would watch it at 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning with you, because everybody's watching it together, even if they're not together and communicating. It's kind of cool on that aspect. But it is, with all the options there are out there right now, to just get...
I'll have to pick your brain afterwards about a video recording software, because I got a question about that. But anyway, this is the week of your birthday.
It is. I was just going to say it earlier when we were talking about Skype and how people didn't know it. And it's like, there's times now where I can communicate with you, because I have been technologically advanced since I was a young kid. I mean, I was ripping apart computers in the bedroom, and I had my own server at one point in the closet in my bedroom that really didn't do anything. It just stored photos on it. It was just, I could have a server, so I built a server and put it in the corner. But at 34, I'll be 34 on Friday.
Yep.
There are times now where we can relate on that aspect, that it's like, I say the word Skype and people are like, what are you talking about? But me at 34 now, I'm like that as well. It's not, I mean, there's certain things that, you know, your age difference between me and you, there are some things that I'll still go, oh, Dad, you're so old. But they're now, like,
happens all the time.
21-year-old college students coming into the bar that I'm just like, oh my gosh, next January 1st, you can be born in the year 2000 and have a drink at a bar. Yep. Like, that's just insanity to me.
Yep.
So, yes, I'll be 34 on Friday.
For a preacher who's 56, you have to be careful of your illustrations. Because I know there's a couple of my favorite story to tell is a few years ago, I did a sermon on 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter of the Bible. And I began just by singing a cappella the theme from the TV show, The Love Boat. Do you remember The Love Boat?
I don't.
Okay. So I began singing, love, exciting and new, come aboard. In the first service, they're all kind of chuckling. Second service, absolute dead silence, deer in the headlights. They had no idea what I was talking about. And I didn't know that was going to happen until that moment. And I'm just sitting there going, uh-oh, they have no idea what the love boat is. And it just, things like that. Plus, you don't want to sound, at least I don't want to sound as if I really am with it and hip and make all these references to, you know, Lady Gaga, whatever, like I know what's going on. So it is sometimes a bit of a challenge and funny. I mean, it was funny. They all laughed because they knew we were not on the same page. And then the next week I made a reference to the flying monkeys in The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
And I had to pause. I said, everybody's seen The Wizard of Oz, right? So.
But there are certain movies that you can do that too. I would think if you made a Star Wars reference or Indiana Jones.
Although you can do a Star Wars reference for the younger people, you might not be able to do it for the older folks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but like Back to the Future, I feel like there's a lot of things nowadays where we can make, like talking about my industry and make a beer. I could design a beer can that has a Back to the Future reference and a lot of people would get that.
Yeah.
But if I made a, you know, more current niche, like, TV show that I watch, like Taylor and I are watching, what?
The Office.
Yes. There's definitely, I mean, even my friend, my best friends are obviously your age, you know that, Mike and Karen. There's sometimes Mike, it goes right over Michael's head, doesn't even understand what he's talking about.
Absolutely. But
ages 20 years old to 34 years old would probably understand that one.
Well, Mom and I are doing a little study, a marriage book we're reading, chapter at a time, and this last chapter we just did, it's called Team Us. Very good book, by the way, called Team Us. And she does a chapter all based on Lost, the TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of us had seen it. So a lot of her examples are like, so I said to Mom, I said, we're going to have to go watch Lost so this chapter can make more sense. You can kind of figure it out, but I was lost. I had no idea. I never watched the show.
It's an excellent show, but it's also a J.J. Abrams show, so it's very, like, you don't know what's going on till the very last season at the very end. It's all, like, a mystery. And then, yeah, but it's like a lot of J.J. Abrams movies where it's just, like, the monster is, like, you see the legs of the monster, but you don't actually see the whole thing. Or you see the shadow, and at the very end, they reveal. And so, but it's a good show. It's not a bad show.
Well, we're enjoying Homeland. We've never seen it before.
I haven't seen that one. No. You guys turned us on to Designated Survivor.
Yes, that was
good. We were very sad when that ended. Yes. It comes up on our Netflix all the time now. Like, rewatch or watch again or whatever. And we're always like, why wasn't there more episodes of this? I don't know.
Well, the third season was on Netflix.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could tell the difference in tone, too.
Yes.
The first two seasons were like...
They got quite filthy with the mouth once they got on Netflix.
It was like the first episode, like 3 minutes in, you're like, oh, wow, this is definitely on Netflix. It's the same thing with the speaking of The Office.
Yeah.
Steve Carell's
new show. I still haven't seen that.
But Steve Carell, his new show, Space Force, which is like a parody on the Space Force military thing, is coming out. It's very Office humor-ish, but it's coming out on Netflix at the end of this month. In the trailer, it was like, you could tell that this was a Netflix show because it wasn't this, like, there was some language that you're just like, Steve Carell on The Office wouldn't say this, but because it's on Netflix, they can go that extra mile and do that.
Right. What about Mom and I absolutely love Outlander.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's on Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do with time travel and history, and it is amazing. But anyway,
This is
your birthday week.
I know, but still, it's
so
fun.
People
I get to
want to get to
dad.
Know who Justin is.
But thinking of being 34, how old were you when we moved to Bangor?
Around that, 1997. So I was 33.
Okay, so yeah, so it's basically the age that I am now, and it's weird for me driving around.
Oh wait, 34. I would turn 34,
In October. So, yeah, we've been, so right now,
I'd have been 33 today.
Yeah.
In 1997.
So, I'll drive around Bangor and I'll just be like, this is so weird to think about. If you just do this mind craziness that I'm driving my car around and I would have been like 10 years old.
Yep.
Sitting in the passenger seat or in the back seat of the car driving through Bangor.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, when we drive up Union Street, I'm like, how life is different, and I'm happy obviously with my life, and I'm getting married this summer, but that you had a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, and an 8-year-old at the time that I am here in Bangor as well, which is just kind of funny. So I was just like, I'm about as old as my dad was when we moved up here.
Yep.
And we drive by the house all the time. We moved to the one on Union Street. And obviously I drive by the one in Orrington because I live in Orrington now. So we drive by that all the time.
Yep. Wow. Well, I didn't know what we were going to talk about today. So one of the things I did last night is I pulled out some mom's scrapbooks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking. And it's funny because, well, I use that phrase all the time and I don't know why.
It's not funny.
It's never different. Funny. It's just, it's interesting. It's odd that your memory of days gone by, at least for me, is so blurry. I'm looking at it was almost like a different person in a different life, because I remember it when I look at the picture. I go, oh yeah. But I need to be primed, I need to be prodded, I need to be showed a little thing. And you know, you and your Chicago Bulls stuff, you were crazy about Jordan and the Bulls, and your soccer outfit and your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You guys loved them. Apparently you guys didn't mind looking the same, because Mom and I dressed you three in the identical clothes on a regular basis, and we don't ever remember anybody complaining.
Oh, I feel like as we got older, we probably, you saw it stop, because that was probably the time we're like, I don't want to look like him. People already confuse us enough anyway. We had teachers in school 2 years later that were like, hey, Jeremy. And I'm like, no, That's my brother. I'm Justin.
And I was thinking
about that the other day, or this morning, getting up, being like, okay, what do I want to talk with my dad? Was that Taylor and her sisters will have vivid conversations about, remember when we did this and remember when we did that? And like, it's very rare that I feel like me and my brothers or our family in general can sit around and just talk about things that happen without being prompted on something. Like you said, the picture or something. We had a great childhood. There's no issue.
That's what was apparent to me. But I'm looking at these books. You guys did everything.
Well, that's probably why. I mean, that's probably some of it. If you think about someone who can come up with these things off the top of their head, but it was a horrible childhood, like they remember, like, oh, remember my first birthday? Yeah, it was me.
Yeah.
In a shed somewhere with my, you know, abusive father or something like that. And that, that someone, people can remember that because they, yeah, it's hard not to forget. But for us, it's a great childhood. We did so much. I felt like, yeah, everything was good. Why do I need to bring it up? It was all good. It was no, there was no bad.
I saw a little picture of Judy.
Yeah. I remember
your heart was broken when Judy the hamster died.
Well, I feel like that's a story that I remember, like when I take friends, or I took Taylor down to Through Kittery to watch where we grew up, you know, obviously, because I was I was born in Newburyport, Massachusetts, but we lived in Dover, New Hampshire, was it? For a small amount of time before we moved to Kittery Point.
Seabrook.
Yeah, Seabrook. And it was like, so I basically say that I started my life in Kittery because that's what I remember and stuff like that.
You grew up in Maine, yeah.
But every time I drive by that little gray house, first of all, when you're this big, that house was massive and the yard was massive. Then you drive by now, you're like, that we had three kids in the, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it was tiny.
But we drive by, and every time I drive by, obviously you drive down the road, you turn around to come back because you don't want to continue on that road.
Right.
I look to the right and I look and I see their landlord's house behind our house.
Yep.
And I go, oh, that's where I ran next door to say Judy had died.
And they thought it was
they had to call. It was a hamster, and they had to call and ask mom and dad, who was Judy? And it happened to be just my hamster died. I don't
know. I have pictures of you being the pickle meister, catching all those pickerel.
Yeah, yep.
You loved spending time with the adults.
Yeah, which tells me that I have a 55-year-old best friend, so
yeah,
it does say something that...
You were quiet. My dad, your grandfather, once asked us about you, does this child ever cry? I mean, you were just so well behaved and absolutely adorable with those curly hair. And for a while you were doing the David Letterman space between the two teeth. Mm-hmm. And you were just adorable. And then I turned the page and there's the picture of the day you got hit in the head with the hammer.
Where you had to get questioned, you and mom had to get questioned in a different room.
Yes.
Went to the hospital because I walked out. So my dad was putting up a basketball hoop at a place in Kittery, which is no longer there anymore. They destroyed that house and built a new house on it.
Yep.
And you look at the new house, you're like, there's no way our house fit in this. It's just weird. But he's putting it up on the basketball hoop on a shed and at the end of our driveway. Instead of dropping the hammer on the pavement, breaking the hammer or cracking the pavement, he saw the yard and he went to chuck it into the yard. Well, the exit to the shed was onto that same yard. And I had been in the shed with my mom and I had walked out at the exact moment he threw the hammer and he yells, Justin. And so I turned and the hammer hits me square right between the two eyes. The fork of it or the fork part of it hit me right here. Clover hit me right here.
Yeah.
And my mom, you know, superwoman, picks up me and we go to the hospital. And I end up getting a few stitches in the head. And but the doctors are like having to talk to my mom and my dad. I don't remember this, obviously, but they told me the story.
Head wounds bleed.
Yes.
Really bad. So we have a picture of you with your shirt. It looked like you were holding a hand grenade and it went off. It just all over the place. And you know, we are bombing to the hospital in my little old Jeep Cherokee. At one time, you want to get pulled over so you can have a police escort. No, I'm blowing through red lights and the whole nine yards. That was
fun. And then they question you and they're like, no, it was a complete accident. And then I ended up getting hit in the head with the tailgate of that same Jeep when we moved here.
Or you were always getting hurt.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I broke my leg.
You jumped off the picnic table. Broke your leg. Were you the one that got your fingers caught in the door in Florida, or was that?
No, that might have been Jeremy, but was it? I think it was Jeremy because it was like the first day that he got there. Because we did it. Did Jared do it too, or was it only me and
Jeremy? I don't think we Jared, all went. Yeah.
Jeremy and I went to Florida on our own, flew on the plane and did all that stuff. But I might have been me, but I don't remember now. But I was the only one that broke a bone.
Yes.
Like I broke my leg.
Mom listed off several things. Bada boom, bada bing. Oh yeah, Justin did this and he got hurt there. And of course I remember the hammer, but I don't remember all of them.
But like, I remember breaking my leg. I don't remember how old I was. I can say probably roughly right around when I got hit in the head with the hammer, because we did move not that long after that. Right, so it was I was probably 8, 9, or 10.
Yep.
But it was that aspect of getting hit in the head with the hammer. And the funny thing about it is that there are certain things, like I don't talk, like if someone gets an injury or they have a broken leg, I don't talk about my broken leg. I don't remember breaking the leg, like physically that moment. Right. I can have a small picture of the bathroom upstairs with me trying to clean, but with old casts and stuff like that, you don't want to get wet.
Right.
It was just hard for mom to help clean, you know, clean me up, take a shower, yeah, take a bath or whatever. I remember those kind of weird moments of, you know, trying to get it clean. Right. But other than that, I don't remember having a cast. I don't remember trying to walk around with the cast because I was so young. I mean, that was
you were the first house
within that, right?
19. Oh gosh, we moved to Kittery in 87. So, let's see, you were born in 86.
Mm-hmm.
So, you could have been like 3, 4 yeah, years old, something like that.
And it's hard to believe that.
It's so sad to see a little 4 year old with a leg cast on.
I really think it's hard to believe that we had three. So, I have an older brother and a younger brother that are both 2 years apart from me on either side. I was the only one to have a broken bone the entire childhood. No broken legs. And we played basketball. We played soccer. We played, you know, we horsed around outside. We went camping. I mean, we didn't just sit inside and do nothing.
Right.
We were active young, you know, boys. And to this day, there's not a thing. Like, I haven't broken a bone since then. And, you know, knock on wood. And
yeah,
Jeremy or Jared haven't done that. So it's just kind of crazy how that aspect of it. And I skateboarded. And
yeah, right. I remember that.
I've been in two serious car accidents and I haven't broken anything.
Just lucky, I guess.
I guess it's so funny too, because I feel like I have all the head injuries and I'm the one that's just been like bear down, get good jobs and move forward in life and stuff like that. My brothers Absolutely. Are both doing well, but it's just like, I've always been the one that's had a steady job. And like,
well, you were the one out of all three, you were the one mom and I think had to worry about the least. We just had confidence that Justin's going to be okay. He's going to figure it out, you know, and you excelled anywhere you went. I mean, you excelled at Best Buy. We went on the Geek Squad and
well, I always fall in love with a place that I don't want to get a job at a place that I'm not happy at.
Right.
And so like, if I'm happy at the place, then I'm going to tell people to shop there. And every single place, I mean, I've mostly worked at places that people have shopped at. I mean, there was a, you know, 7 year span, 15 year span that I worked at Free Christian Church and, you know, New Sound Concerts, where it's like, I can't get you to come to my church because you're in Connecticut and so on. But you know, when I worked at Best Buy or Circuit City, or when I worked for, or when I worked for New Sound, I want people to go to the Soul Fest.
Yeah.
And then when I worked for Downey's Toyota, yep, my friend Mike bought a car from us and stuff like that. Didn't affect me in any way, because I don't get any benefit from that. Especially with you guys buying things at Best Buy, you guys got my discount. So right, why would I, like, if you guys didn't get my discount, yeah, I would be making more money off of it. And a corporation like that, I didn't care about how much money the company made, because that's a multi-billion-dollar organization.
Right.
But for me, I want people to come shop at OBC and all that stuff, and I wear the, you know, outfit all the time.
Right.
So I just
you're definitely passionate. I'm so happy that you found. I mean, when you're doing something you're passionate about, it's just really not like work. I mean, Mom and I were talking last night, or today, Tuesday, yeah, last night, how I was saying how blessed I was to have a partner, have a wife who supported what I did and was interested in doing things as well. not just, okay, you do what you want. And, you know, we've had friends where the wife, you know, sits at home and isn't involved in the church at all. And that's got to be hard. That's got to be tough for a pastor when his wife's really not all that interested. And she said, well, I didn't do a heck of a lot in Orrington, though. I said, well, you sang in the choir. You were definitely involved in the youth group. But you had three kids to raise. And that was her primary, besides working full-time, you know, that was her primary job or responsibility. Now that we have the time where it's just the two of us, she is uber involved. I mean, doing all kinds of ministry here. And it's just passionate about it. It's just awesome. We spend as much time here as we do at home outside of this COVID-19 thing. Saturday, we were doing like a little drive, Sunday drive on Saturday, just to get around the state and look around. But we've, a couple of Saturdays, we've done deliveries. We delivered palms for Palm Sunday to a bunch of members. We delivered communion cups for those little disposable communion cups we peel up. Delivered those to people the first of the month. And then this past Saturday, we gave out little Mother's Day gift we wanted to give to all the mothers of our Sunday school kids to thank them for, you know, acknowledging it's important to have your child in Sunday school. And so it's like on some level you're working even on your day off. You work, but it doesn't feel like work. You love what you do. And that is definitely what you get off of you and OBC. I mean, you just love what you do.
Well, I mean, it also helps.
Sure, they realize it too.
Yeah, it helps to have a company that cares just as much about you as you do about them. So that's, you know, a pretty cool thing. That there's times where I'm sitting in managers or meetings of the owners that they're asking me a question about a financial decision that doesn't really have any, I don't have any, if you think deep down in black and white, I don't have any say in it. It's not my actual place to say anything because I don't own the company at all, but they're going to ask my opinion because they know, that I'm going to be here hopefully for another 10 years. So it does affect me. It affects me in a long run with, you know, increases in pay eventually or titles or longevity of the company or so on, you know, what the future looks like. They do want my input because they care. And I mean, I have now been with the company more because the company is 5 years old. I've been with the company for 3 years. So they've had me more than they had been without me. So right. At this point now, it's like I'm ingrained in the point where it's like I'm associated with Orrin Brewing Company. And you've seen, I've been on the news, they interview me.
Right.
They can go away. They go away for the weekend to Sugarloaf. I say they, the owners. And they're like, oh, someone wants to do a news article. Oh, Justin, you got it. Don't worry about it. And I can talk on behalf of the company. I know what to say, when to say it, and what not to say. And so it makes me proud of what I do, but also like, if I'm needed, I don't care. Like if someone called me right now, I'd pick up the phone and talk to them and figure out an online issue or whatever. I mean, 2 o'clock, we start doing online orders for the week. You can order beer for today for delivery tomorrow. And so starting at 2 o'clock right now, my week changes a little bit because it's really like 24 hours a day.
Right.
Someone emails us at 10 o'clock at night asking a question about online ordering. I'm likely going to respond to that email because I want that order in. If someone orders something weird at line, I'll refresh before I go to bed. Someone orders something for pickup for Friday. We only do pickup on Saturday. So I'm in there emailing them, say, hey, just to let you know, do you want it for delivery or do you want to pick it up on Saturday? Oh, Saturday is fine. But I'm doing that at 10 o'clock at night. And it's just, Taylor doesn't really care as much because we're home and we're together. We're watching TV. I can do it in 10 seconds. It does get frustrating when you do have to go in. Like if the alarm went off at church and you had to go in to figure out what that was.
Sure.
It is kind of annoying, but it's also not.
Yeah, on one level, when you're never off the clock, it can be annoying, but it is such a blessing to be doing so. Because I know there's a lot of people, I worked with them in the post office for 15 years. I love the job. I worked with a bunch of people who hated it, and they let it be known under no circumstances. And it was just so depressing. Because you knew you were surrounded by a bunch of guys who wanted to do something else, who talked constantly about doing something else. And I'm one of the few who ever really did do something else.
Well, one of the things I've been lucky enough with Orrin Brewing Company, too, is that I don't ever hear that little – when I worked at other companies, retail or restaurants or other businesses, there's always that little, like, okay, the owners of the group, the management's not around. Let's chat. Oh man, I'm frustrated with this and I'm frustrated with that. I did it. I've literally had never worked for a company. I'm 34 years old. So I've been working for companies for 17 years now, basically 16 years that, or more than that now, 18 years. And in 18 years, every single other company, there's been someone there who's like, I just got to get a different job.
No.
There's not that here. It's like people call me and are sad when they graduate college and they get a job in their degree field. And it's they're like, oh, sorry, I have to leave Orono Brewing Company. I'm like, no, I'm sad you're leaving too, but you're going to make money. This is your future. This is not, I mean, could I keep you in as a part-time bartender forever? I'd love that. But if you're going to move to Portland to actually do something that's in your field, absolutely. But every other company have had that aspect of like, I don't want to be here. And it's just, it's just crazy. But we all did something. I mean, we're all artistic, right? I mean, you guys, I'm the only one that's not really, I've played a little bit of drums and I can keep a beat. But if you sat down, like, let's play drums and you get on the guitar and I play drums, there's no way that I could play along with you. Mm-hmm. Like my other two brothers can, and you know, you can obviously play the drums. Moms can play the guitar, the flute, clarinet.
Yep.
You play the bass. You could play the bass if you wanted to, the drums.
I could get it. I could fake it. Yeah.
You guys can all sing. I can't sing worth a lick. But we all had something artistic. We're like, we draw, and graphic wise, Jared's pretty good on the computer. Yep. Jeremy's pretty good on the computer. I am too. Mom sews. I mean, obviously you have your passion. You, public speaking is like obviously something you can do really well now.
Yep.
It took time, but like you obviously don't, you get nervous when you go up in front of the congregation or speak, but it's not like you do it so often now. I'm guessing it has become a little bit easier as part of just your week.
Yes.
To get up there and speak.
Yes. You still get butterflies and you still, you're not comfortable, but I'm certainly more at home at ease doing it than I was, you know, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. But you see this right here? Can you see my?
Yes.
Solstice.
Oh, yeah.
It's still in the actual shrink wrap.
That's awesome.
I got to find, does anybody have the actual MP3 still? Or because they, I think someone, didn't someone?
I put it on an, I put it on an MP3, yeah.
Because I wanted to hear it. I wanted to listen to it. Because every once in a while, some songs that you guys covered.
Yep.
So this is my dad's band from back when I was, how long was Solstice?
Oh, that was made in the 90s. I want to say, well, I played for about 15 years from 1979 to 19, what does that make it? 89, 93, something like that. Yeah.
And so Solstice was one of the iterations of yep. those bands.
That was when we were doing all original music.
And but every once in a while, a song that I know you guys as one of your bands had covered,
yeah,
comes on the radio. I'm always like, this isn't how the song goes, because it would be like, it's not hearing your backup vocals or Dave's vocals or whatever. And it was just like, this is a subpar version of the song. Because in my mind, if I was going to listen to the song growing up, why wouldn't I put on your song compared to the, you know what I mean, or listen to your song? So
that's funny, but you know, it's just like we talk about with TV shows.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I can't even reference the songs we used to do because they're like, ooh.
But I was like, oh, okay, I have this tape and I've had it forever and it's still, like I said, in the shrink wrap, just mainly because why remove it? I don't own a cassette player, so I can't play it.
Well, I'll definitely have to get to the MP3. I have a record player, an 8-track player,
but I don't have a cassette player.
I still have a few left and I do have the equipment to be able to put it on a thumb drive and then make it a file. I think I could figure all that out, or at the very least, I know how to make a CD and I can mail that to you.
Using one of your old jobs, the post office.
Yeah, absolutely.
I bet you're glad you're not doing that right now.
I imagine they're pretty overwhelmed, I would guess.
I am not friends with, but obviously acquaintances with our UPS driver at OBC. And so he picks up, he drops off labels, right? We buy labels in the bound thing for the cans and they ship from Ohio. So three times a week, he's stopping to drop off stuff. So I check in with him, like, how's it going? He goes, we are out straight right now.
Yeah.
We had a UPS truck pull up at almost 9 o'clock.
Oof.
Like, I know online it says deliver by 9, but that thing is just to give them the window. I think most UPS drivers probably finish around 5 or 6 or 7 o'clock. It was dark out. We didn't even have a porch light on. It was dark out. And he pulls up and like comes up. It's like, thank you. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. That guy probably started at 9 o'clock this morning. He's doing a 12-hour day delivering packages to people that you don't know if they're sick. You don't know if they're healthy. Yep.
I'll bet Tim Kenny's glad he retired. Oh,
a lot of people are like, there's times where I'm just like, I'm glad I don't have certain jobs in certain industries because we have it pretty nice right now. If you think about it with this COVID thing, we have it pretty nice, but yeah, back at the Solstice thing, and I was telling Taylor, I was like, I want you to hear this album, but I'm like, I don't have any way to play it. But
well, it was funny thinking about jobs. And this is weird, not to make it about me, but what blows my mind as far as we're talking about reminiscing and looking back and, you know, you're going to be 34 and I'll be 57. And, it's hard to wrap my head around. I have about 10 years left.
In so, working, yeah. So you have till the designated 65, 67 year old retirement.
Even,
yeah.
To even use the word retired in a sentence with me is just it's like, you know, like I'm looking at the scrapbook, as I told you, and I feel like I'm looking at somebody else's life in a previous, in a similar way, when I'm looking forward to retired, that's somebody else.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. It's just unbelievable.
It's that aspect of, I mean, you get into a certain age that you're someone's old to you. That the idea that when you were my age, someone retiring is your parents. You're old. That they're old.
Right.
When you retire, you're old. And you're not old. Like you're 57. It's not like you're, you know, 80, 90 years old.
Did you see that news article about the survey they did? They just did this big survey where they tried to determine amongst a swath of people what everybody considers the beginning of elderly. Guess what the number was?
37. Oh, 57? I was gonna say way younger, way earlier than that. Yeah.
But you're right. When I was when me and mom got married, I was 18. And if somebody injured, and I went to work at the post office with a bunch of guys who were 57 and up, and in my mind, they were ancient.
Well, I bet there's the same similar people who, yeah, I hire someone who's 21 to work at the bar, and they know that. I mean, myself, Cassie, one of my lead bartenders, she's 30. And then I have another bartender who's 30s or almost 40. But to us, I mean, the 21-year-old probably think we're ancient.
Yeah.
34. And it's like, because they're still young and hip and in college and going to college parties and things like that, that I am older. But to me, I'm like, I've at least, like, even with you guys growing up, it's like you guys were never old people growing up. Right. You guys were all still, like, we were going camping every Memorial Day and Labor Day, sleeping on the ground in tents or the pop-up camper.
Yep.
Playing music around a fire with all these people. Because if you think about it, your group of friends never really grew up.
No, I mean, I only time I really realize I'm 56 is when I look in the mirror. You feel in your head like I'm still 16 years old. I do. Mm-hmm. And then you begin to think to yourself, did all of those guys I worked with in the post office feel the same way?
I bet they did.
But
it's like that aspect of not being old. I mean, because I feel like my parents, you and mom, and have never really been old. You guys don't. I mean, mom like sews and crochets and things like that.
We started pretty early too.
But you guys don't have old tendencies. Like I don't know how to put it, but like there's some people who just get old really quickly. I always know growing up that like I was gonna be able to do cool, fun things. Like literally every Memorial Day or Labor Day, I looked forward to that weekend because it was like a bunch of people that were older than me, but all did young things, playing volleyball and playing music around a campfire and playing. I mean, you guys played cards; it's an older thing to do.
Yeah,
but I mean, it still seemed, but also not super young. And I think that's how I got my aspect of life. Is I love doing fun things, but I don't like the party, if that makes any sense. Like,
I remember going
camping with you guys and going, that's how I want my 30-year-old self to be. Have fun around the campfire. And there were moments that there were people that obviously drank too much or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
but for the most part of it, it was like controlled chaos. Like,
yep.
You guys had a blast doing what you're doing. You guys look forward to going camping every Memorial Day and Labor Day. Yep. But it you had fun, but it wasn't over the top. And I feel like there's some people that are my age that are still waking up on Sunday morning after going out partying for Saturday night, like, I'm never going to drink again. And it's I don't want to be that. So there's that old tendencies that, like, you grow up to a point where you're smart and knowledgeable what you're doing, but still be able to have a young at heart aspect of having a good time. And I think that's what I get with Mike and Karen, and why I'm so good friends with them, is the fact that they are the same way. At there's moments that they act 34.
Right.
But then there's a certain time where they act 75.
Right.
And it's like, there's moments where I act 34, 25, and this time where I act 75.
Right.
On a Tuesday night where I'm like, it's 9 o'clock, I gotta go to bed. Right. Never thought I'd ever be doing that. But like, I don't mind that now, because it's like, I can have fun between the hours of 8 o'clock in the morning and 9 o'clock at night, get a good night's sleep, and feel better tomorrow than,
you gotta be 34, so I can make you feel old. Guess who's getting ready to graduate from college? Jillian.
Because there's certain, and also you guys started early, so all the camping people are all not much younger, but like if you think about it,
they're roughly the same age, but they just started their families later.
Yes. So like, I always had we were the older kids.
That's right.
And so, like, but much older. Like, I mean, Doug and Sue's kids, Connor and Taylor, they're like what, early 20s now?
Yeah.
So. Or mid-20s. So that's 12 years later or so, 10 years later or so, where you guys had kids. So I was 10 or 11 years old when they were all being, so I remember them being infants and being young. And so it's, to me, it's like, you guys did have that. You had you guys, us, and then these kids. And someone be graduating college right now that we used to go camping with.
Yep.
It must be difficult, because I mean, that group can't, I mean, we obviously have broken away because I live up in Bangor now and you live in Connecticut. Yep. And you work every Sunday. So it's harder for us to go camping on Memorial Day and Labor Day, and I work every Saturday. But the idea that they're not gonna be able to go camping at the end of this month, it must be weird. Cause I mean, there's still, that group still goes. There's small groups that don't come anymore or come to one or can't make it or whatever. But that core group of people that used to go camping, which you grew up with, right? I mean, high school.
Yeah, Mom and John Marchetier, the ones that started it. It was their idea to begin with. And we did it faithfully for, I want to say 25 years.
And then we did it. We had come a couple of times from Bangor area.
Yep.
At the end of that, like maybe year 26, 27, where we drive a distance, like 3 or 4 hours to get camping. And we used to go camping as a family. Other than that, too, we used to go camping all summer. When we moved to Bangor, we camped for the entire summer.
Yep,
because we didn't have a place to live yet.
it was funny. My first summer at Camp Winnyogamock, and the kids would ask me, "Where do you live?" I'd say, "Here."
Yeah, nowhere.
No, really, where do you live? I say, "Here."
I don't have a home.
The housing
right now.
on campus wasn't ready yet, so I got no place to go.
But it's cool to see that. We always wanted that. There was always that aspect of the brothers, my brothers and I, who always wanted that aspect of, it'd be kind of cool if we get Weber and all these other people to come with us and go camping. We tried to bring them as friends to get them to be like, okay, this would be cool. Let's do this as we get older. And it was like, your generation had the opportunity. A lot of people stayed in the same area. It's like, you guys all graduated college and you guys basically all stayed in New England.
Roughly.
And so for the most part. And so it was easy for them to get together on those weekends. For a lot of people we went to high school and college with, like, you know, best friends live in New York, and, you know, the kid I grew up with and Kittery Michael, like, taught for a semester out in Japan. And it's just like, it wouldn't be possible for that to happen really anymore. And it's sad, because it would be a cool story for you guys to tell, like, your whole group to tell this story.
Yeah, it would be cool if you three and Jillian and Tammy and Taylor and Connor, they got together and did that. That'd be crazy.
But you know those people who play the game of tag for like 30 years or 20 years? You heard about that?
Oh, yeah.
It's a great movie. But that's a kind of story where it's like, you guys got together, you know, religiously Memorial Day and Labor Day and did this as a group of people. Yeah. There was times where it was, what, 30 people?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Plus, and then we did
multiple campsites.
we did New Year's Eve at our house for years, New Year's Eve party. And then we used to do, we realized during the off season, when you know, when it's too cold to go camping, we didn't want to wait until New Year's Eve. So we started having once a month card parties and would bounce around to each other's house. It was a really tight knit group of, you know, four or five families that, now part of that tightness was the band. We all had the band in common. And since the band was still going, we were still socializing together. But I mean, even though I haven't seen or spoken to any of those folks in years, and you just know, you know, if you needed them and you picked up the phone, they'd be there in a heartbeat.
You know? Well, it's this, we're getting married, Taylor and I, and it's like, they all were on the radar. They're going to get a digital invitation.
Yep.
Because they were extended. I mean, there was moments in my life where I felt like Doug and Sue and Jack and Dahlia, you know, and the Pierces were all more aunts and uncles to me than my actual aunts and uncles. Yes. Not to say anything bad about my actual aunts and uncles, because they were excellent to me too. But there was like, they were more family to me.
We didn't spend as much time, like, they were more family to me.
But like, and I feel like I've been able to connect with like Uncle George and people like that more over the past couple of years. As an adult, being able to reach out to them on my own. But back when I was growing up, it was like, these were my, like, I felt like if you guys were to pass away, it wouldn't be Uncle George or Aunt Deanne or, you know, mom's family or anything like that taking us. It would have been the Johnsons or the Pierces or the, you know, the Littles would have been the ones that were like, let's take, we didn't even, because we lived so close together, they were like, each one of them could take one of us and still be a family and be fine. But I felt like that's the way it was. So it was like, I, you know, cool thing about growing up with an extended family that big, that I literally could call Sue or Doug or any of these people we grew up with and be like, hey, I'm stuck in Saco, Maine, which is not super close to them, but not super far from them. And one of them would be like, hey, we'll get someone to come up and get you. Well, and they'll get you.
One of them helped you move into Haverhill, didn't they?
Yes. Well, yeah, yes. I mean, Jack and Doug actually helped me move into Haverhill, and I lived with the Pierces for a year. I lived in a spare room. And so they were my pseudo parents for a year. I rented a room when I first moved to Massachusetts. So, but yeah, that they had that aspect. And yeah, Jack and Doug helped me move a couch, a sleeper sofa up a spiral type wooden staircase in Haverhill that we ended up leaving in the apartment. Cause I'm like, well, first of all, I can't call them again. There's no way I'm calling them again. I'm like, my landlord, $600 a month for rent in a really crappy neighborhood. He can just have it. Someone's going to want it and leave it. So I just left it behind. But yeah, that was the benefit of living in that area. I was able to reconnect. I played cards with them a little bit when I was living in Massachusetts and stuff. So that was pretty cool. But
I can't tell you the last time I played 45s. I have no idea.
I want to teach Taylor because that would be something cool when we come down to visit.
Absolutely.
And stuff, you know, do that and play that. And I love, Mike and Karen would probably love playing the game too. We play all kinds of like board games and things with them. So it'd be kind of cool for them to learn. And actually now with Karen's sons living at home now, there's actually 8 of us in that group, friend group. So you could actually have 2 games going on at the same time.
You well know it. Once you learn how to do it, it's addictive. Mm-hmm.
So. But yeah, so I'm turning 34 on Friday, which I'm releasing this on Friday, so it'll be today. Thank you. And there's obviously my dad and I could probably talk for hours more about history or the history of us and stuff and the family. I was able to catch up with him a little bit. We've been able to FaceTime. We FaceTimed a lot more. Nothing has changed between my parents and I in 2 months because of this.
Right.
We both live in different states, and we only are able to see each other in a small amount of time. But we happen to be, it almost reinvigorated FaceTiming and talking to each other a little bit more, which is kind of cool. So I have been able to catch up and talk to you guys about things. So
don't forget your pseudo sister birthday is on Saturday, Solveig.
Yes. Which is a quick, funny story. Cause what did we move? You guys moved to Connecticut in 2006.
Yeah.
I moved with my dad because my dad had started working at the church in Connecticut, South Church in Hartford first. My little brother was graduating high school, so that was in June. You moved in February. And so I moved down to my dad's, with my dad at the house they were going to rent and live with them. But we had ties here, and you had ties in Connecticut now because you're working in there. And you probably better the storyteller on this than I am, but someone moved into your house, Solveig?
Yeah.
Well, so when you guys...
We ended up, partnering with a private girls' school here in Hartford, Grace Academy. And the very first year they opened up, they got a bunch of teachers from AmeriCorps. And one of the teachers was named Solveig Bray. And come to find out, she was from Old Town, Maine, and kind of knew people from Bangor High and stuff like that. And she ended up needing a place to live. And so she lived with us for 2, 3, 4 years. I can't remember.
And yeah, so that's just kind of funny, that aspect of how we didn't know anybody from Maine or right. Old Town. And that you end up, someone was connected to your church is now going to rent a room from you.
Absolutely. From, yep.
From yep. Old Town, so.
From Old Town, yeah. And she got married, and he's in the Air Force, Army. Yeah. And they're in Virginia now with Jared.
So, yeah, so it's, we could talk for hours about, I mean, obviously 34 years of life, there's a bunch of stories that come up and many stories that happened in 1 year. And it's like a Seinfeld episode. Every once in a while, I think of, oh my gosh, that's 3 different Seinfeld episodes. Then you rewatch Seinfeld and it's actually all the same episode, just 3 different points. So, but I'm glad you were able to come on and take a little time out of your day and chat with me and kind of reminisce and learn a little bit more about South Church and what you guys are doing right now and a little bit more and celebrate my birthday with me.
Absolutely.
So you can, my dad obviously is not very active on Facebook, but he is active on his social media for South Church.
Church page.
Yes. So you can find South Church on Facebook if you want. And they have a website, South Church. Yeah. SCCHartford.org.
Yeah.
And there you go. See?
Backwards.
No, it's forward this way, so that's good. But you also read it, as you saw the blog on there. I'll link that in the website where people can read your Pastor Adam's perspective as well on Blogspot. And you can get us on Just Another Podcast is available on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, YouTube, soon to be on Pandora and iHeartRadio. So
I don't know what any of that means, but it sounds cool.
So anywhere you can listen to it, but also justanotherpodcast.com is our website. That's it. Thanks for hanging out, Dad.
Thanks for having me. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you.